Hello, hello out there. This is Andrea with From Mrs. to Ms. Welcome back to my show. And today we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Etel Light. Hi, how are you?
Hi there. Great. Thank you so much for having me in the show. I was literally waiting for that, right? For 2 weeks now.
Yes, I love it. Thank you for coming on. We're super excited to have you. So just so I can tell the listeners a little bit about you, Dr. Etel Light is a renowned author, professor, and media personality with an incredible social market following. She brings a rich background to her work. She served as a commander. Wow. As I'm reading it, she served as a commander in Israeli intelligence and holds a PhD in positive and transpersonal psychology. Not done yet. Along with a master's in leadership and education from Pepperdine University. Her viral reel boasts 4.2 million views, showcasing her widespread influence. And currently, she's exploring the intersection of AI and psychology while assisting individuals in navigating relationship challenges arising from addiction and unwise decisions. Wow.
What is it, me?
That's amazing. That is quite an introduction. And I wrote it up, but I didn't really like reel that in of how much that is. Oh my gosh, from going from the Israeli intelligence to a PhD and a master's, that's incredible. So let's start at the beginning. Like, how did this all happen? Tell me how you came into this career from all of those things.
Thank you. So I'm going to start really from the beginning. I call myself sometimes the holy chick. You know? Yes, I was born in Jerusalem, the holy place.
And yes.
There is actually a term in Hebrew that says I was a good girl. So there is a term, good girl, Jerusalem.
Oh.
I was born a very good girl because I knew this is how I get my love. This is how I'll get my attention. I'm a first of six kids to mom and dad who were madly in love with each other. When I say madly, it's the good and the bad. And us six kids were in the turmoil of having parents who are madly in love. In the good.
Wow.
Head. So for me, getting attention was always not getting an attention, just being really, really good girl. And I'm sure we have some listeners that can relate to that, having all A's or doing really well. And then I was a commander in the Israeli intelligence.
That sounds like a fake job. And I don't mean that with any disrespect. I just watched so many shows that it's like, wow, that's super exciting.
It was super exciting this is where I grew up, was my actually first time ever that I was by myself with no place of, you know, parents fighting or siblings to take care of. I'm the first of six. So I was taking off others and I found my own voice, which was beautiful. Isn't it funny? I had to go to the Israeli intelligence to find my voice.
Your voice. And what age were you at that point?
I was almost 18. I did everything.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly. I was a gifted. I went to always gifted schools. So I went to first grade, to kindergarten, and they bumped me into first grade. So 17 and a half, I was already in the Israeli intelligence. 18 and a half, I was a commander. Don't ask.
Oh, my gosh.
When I see the generation, I'm like, you could do it. It's within you.
Yeah.
It's within you. You just have to have someone to believe in you, which I had.
Yes. Many
and then continue. And then I found myself here in the United States with two suitcases coming to teach from all languages that I know. I love languages. I know 4.5 languages, different ones, right?
Yeah.
So Hebrew, Arabic, English, sign language for response, and Spanglish. That's my
Funny.
I found myself here with two suitcases coming to teach Hebrew. And I swore myself it will be only 1 year. I'm coming only 1 year to teach Hebrew. And that's what I did. I taught at schools. I taught in universities at USC. And this is how my career started, like to understand what made people communicate. It's beyond just language.
Yeah.
I say hi or shalom or hola or whatever it is. This is just one nuance of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
No, right? But there is so much more behind it. And this is, I think, really my career.
Yeah.
That was delved into. At first, it was how babies and parents communicate.
Okay.
Till now, I have my company called Signshine. It's really big. If anyone wants to check it on Instagram, delving on how babies communicate with parents through baby sign language.
Wow.
No words.
Yeah.
No words. Just your body. Just your expression. What do you do then?
Right.
How do you tell your parent that you are frustrated? You cry.
Yeah.
How do you tell your parent that you want your diaper change? You
You
cry.
cry.
How do you tell your parent that you want a hug? You cry. Now, Andrea, let's take it fast forward. When you're 20 and 30, what do you do when you need something?
You cry. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not kidding. You cry.
It's so true.
In a society that learn more how to cry and how to be in a victim mode and take, you know, the pride to say, but that's what I need. But really, that's what I need.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. There is a lot of shame about what I need and what I feel. And that's how I build my career. And I absolutely love it.
Oh my gosh.
Encouraging people to really find what they need and want, not from other people, just from themselves first. And then slowly, slowly unfolding it. Like, okay, so how do I present myself and what do I want to need? I don't know how to do it. Nobody taught me. I cry, you know?
Right.
I eat, I condemn myself, I shame myself, I'm upset, I'm angry, whatever it is. You know, instead of sitting thinking, wow, that's what I want to need in my life. The courage to do it.
Yes, I love that because so many people, like you said, don't take the time to really look inside themselves and figure that stuff out. We're always worried about, we're people pleasers, right? So we're always worried about making sure everybody else is taken care of. And we don't tend to work on ourselves, which is also where they say you got to love yourself before you can love someone else too.
Yes. Right? And I just recorded a reel about self-love. It's interesting that you just mentioned
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's the new buzzword. There are two big buzzwords right now.
Gaslighting.
gaslighting, narcissist, and self-love. So what is really self-love? What do I do when I self-love? And there was like, self-love is not being selfish. Absolutely not. But self-love, if we can put another word, is it's actually self-acceptance.
Oh, I like that.
It all starts with self-acceptance. That's self. You know, people think, okay, go to the gym, self-love. I go to the gym and I'm like, oh my God, you're so fat in the mirror, right? Self-love? Self-love, eat only healthy food. I eat kale and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Is that self-love? Right? No. Self-love, right. Put yourself first. You know, I'm driving and I'm like beeping to another person. You are in my way. Is that self-love? What is self-love? Self-love is really accepting myself the way I am. If you really, truly need to look in the mirror and think about, wow, that bothers me. So go with it. Work with someone that you're accountable to always. I'm sure you have your clients. I have my clients. Be accountable to someone. Work on yourself. So in order to love yourself more, to accept, love equal acceptance more. As you can see, my signature is always hearts. Like I wear only heart necklaces. Everything that I do is like a lot of hearts. So yesterday I just received the gifts. People always gift me necklaces with hearts.
Oh, I love something. That.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is true. It's about self-acceptance, self-love. That's what love is all about. So when we break it up into like small things.
Yeah.
And let's be our followers, you know, just pause for a second, right? If you listen, like when you listen to it and think yourself, like, how do I show myself fully self-acceptance? What did I do today to show myself that I accept myself the way I am? Something bothers me, like to work with someone and see what is the behind the scenes that I don't accept that. If it's external or internal, what caused it and what can I do for it to really embrace it?
Wow. With it,
right? Just embrace it.
Those are things I just don't think anybody really thinks about on a daily basis. I mean, we're all caught up in the, you know, getting things done in the hustle and bustle of the world, and we don't take time to just do that. So I think that's amazing that you work with people to get them to kind of open up to loving themselves and accepting themselves. And it's
the domino chain, because when you fully accept yourself, guess what happens? You don't ask from people to love you so you can love yourself.
Right?
That's conditional love. You know, that's commitment. That's, I'm sure you heard about dating. It's like immediately, okay, you know, when is the wedding? Three kids, two kids? Like, it's so like, what do I get back? Right. I have a really funny reel that I did about a woman, you know, sitting and talking about, wow, you know, the dress and the kids and whatever it is. And there was a voice asking her, so how many dates did you have? And she's like, oh, tomorrow is the first.
Oh, it was probably me 5 years ago, to be honest. I've grown to self-accept myself. That's
so when you self-accept, there's not any more finding someone that will fill this void within you, because you're filled. And now, if you love yourself, you can give love, and that will, you know,
attract people,
attract a person that will do the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Without needing your body, your brain, your home, your cooking, your whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right, ladies?
I love it. I love it. So you focus a lot on exploring the combination of AI and psychology. So tell me a little bit about that, because that is the whole new thing, right? AI.
Yeah. Huge. I mean, our lives is going to change tremendously in the next year. You don't even know what it is. I mean, look at us right now, Andrea. I don't even know where you live, where is your studio, and you don't know it's my studio, but we are here because of AI.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to show you something really cool for all of our audience. Let's see. That's AI.
Oh my gosh.
I spread love with AI. I just, if you listen and you don't see it, I just created heart with my hand, and the Zoom created hearts.
Oh my gosh. I'll do a little clip to show that. That's so cool. I love that.
What a fun. And that's AI. And AI is really embedded in everything. Some people are afraid of it. Some people are curious about it. Immediately people think about ChatGPT, but AI is on your Amazon cart, right? Mm-hmm. My Amazon doesn't look like yours. Facebook, any social media, anything that is technological is AI embedded. And one thing that I was very curious about, because I teach at the university, I teach psychology, and I teach marketing in MBA school. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, how AI is going to impact relationships with people, right?
Yes.
I just published it on February 2nd. It's called The Emotional Code.
Oh, I love it. I love the cover. Communication.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, super cool.
Communication in the digital age of AI, right? Mm. And this really goes into just the facts of where do we meet AI in our lives?
Yeah.
Right? Immediately people think about, like as I said, like Zoom, social media, but everywhere. It's education, it's health. Dating. I have a whole chapter about dating and AI.
Oh, I want to read that one. That's where I'm at. I want to read that one. Is it like where we get to make our own person that I can date? That kind of AI. No. Right.
And then it gives some tools, because what we are given is like given a car. Remember the first car in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But we are not, nobody's teaching us how to drive this car.
Yeah.
There's no driving teachers yet.
Right.
We have this big tool of AI, and how do I really use it? So because our show is about dating and relationships, I'm not going to talk about education or about health. Let's talk about relationship and AI.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
It's a big thing, right? I mean, soon we are not going to even show our feelings. It's the texting. We're going to see what words, you know, we said to the person, and then it really respond instead of us. Mm. The major question is, can AI replace spirituality?
That's a great question.
Right? Because AI is actually all of us. Think about it. All the billion people in the world, you know, putting their info in one place. Nothing is new. It's something we created into one bucket. And this is where all the choices and all the options of responding or options for whatever it is are coming. So what about spirituality? Can it be spiritual for me? Can it feel my own feelings? Mm-hmm. And this is the differentiation between relationships and feelings.
Yes.
Right? I cannot dictate to any machine feelings. I can dictate what the response will be for feelings. Like,
okay,
I don't like you. I need right? I think like that. I'm making the voice, but really what I feel, the frustration, the anger, it can mimic it, but not really truly feel it.
Yeah.
And this is where I think that the most important thing, that's one thing in classes that they don't teach in school, which I really hate, I hope that AI will actually encourage it because of the lack, is teaching relationships in grade school.
Yes, they don't do any of that.
Yeah.
You're so right.
Right, teaching communication. How do I communicate for me, not from an AI, right? For me then. And I can tell you, and when I teach at two universities, I changed all of my curriculum because of ChatGPT.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't need them to pure the information. They can go ChatGPT, look information, and do it.
Yeah.
This is the scenario. What do you feel about it? Show me your feelings. and work on it so I can see the process. That's what it's all about. And I think this is beautiful that we have AI, because we are not machines. We don't need to just information. It's really about process and teaching people, like, hey, what am I feeling?
Yes, that's so good. So good. Yeah. I've never really thought about it that way, to that extent. So that's amazing. So on your website, you talk a lot about people pleasing. We were just kind of talking about that. We all do it. So why do you feel this can be such a hindrance in a relationship? And how do we stop constantly worrying about what other people's behaviors and what they think about us?
Great question. So this is what I say. This is something that you won't hear out of people, because for me, people pleasing equals, are you ready, listeners?
Give it to us.
People pleasing equals lying to yourself.
Ooh.
It's nothing to do with other people.
Yeah.
You just lie to yourself when you people please. When you say yes and you meant to say no, I can't do it because, you know, I'm too busy. You just lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. When you strive really, really hard, like, you know, to show one face and on another face what people will like you, you just lie to yourself. You know, I always say, I'm not a pizza and I'm not ice cream. Not everybody's going to like me.
Right.
And I teach my clients all the time when they're like, but I'm like, okay, you're not a pizza, you're not an ice cream. And I don't want my client to like me all the time, because if that will be my job for them to like me, then I don't do service.
Yeah.
I really challenge my clients in our therapy sessions, challenge them, you know, and actually they sign a contract with me that I can say, I remember I was in Israeli intelligence. I'm a coffee and I have a dimple. So I have the good. And I challenge them, because again, my role is not for them to like me. My role in this world is not for people to like me. It's self-acceptance. You see, I don't want to be myself anymore. I was born in a house that I was people pleaser. I wanted people to accept me. I was so good at even though I didn't want to do things, I've done things. And that's how I grew up in my past relationship too.
Yeah.
And I guess you too, Adria.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And I've tried to get, you know, better about it, but that is the thing. It's so easy just to say yes. Instead of having to deal with the no and the aftermath of that, or what, you know, what the results are there. So it's easier just to say, okay, sure. You know, this actually even happened to me last night. I was prepared to say no to helping a friend do all of his checklist stuff, his to-do list. And I was ready to say, I just don't want to, you know, and then he had the sad eyes and I just need help. And next thing you know, I'm doing the checklist.
Yes. And this is self-acceptance. We're going back to what we talked in the beginning. You know, how can you accept yourself if you just lie to yourself?
Yes.
Not to someone else. It's just to me. Because really, I don't want to do it. I just want to, you know, I always say I want to dance naked in the house. Whatever it is, it's not business. I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't need an explanation.
Yeah.
It's, you know, really respecting my own needs. Mm-hmm. Going back there. Which nobody taught me. I always thought that my needs are someone else's needs. Otherwise, you're selfish.
Yes.
You know? Oh, you think about yourself, right? And I'm not saying here not being in service, because I truly believe that the only way to keep what you have is to give it to others. That's what you do, Adria.
Yes.
You have amazing tools and you give it in this amazing podcast.
Yes. Thank you.
You know, my kids know I volunteer. I volunteer in women's jail. I go every 3 months and I talk to these amazing ladies without them knowing who I am. Ooh. I don't tell anything about myself, nothing.
That's cool.
Experience. I volunteer with women. I did this amazing drive for women who are homeless. Pregnant. So listeners, there are pregnant women who are homeless. There are homeless people who, women who get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the awareness that we have.
Right.
And, you know, and when I saw them, it was this place that I volunteered to actually feed the homeless. And I saw a pregnant woman and I thought, wow, I never thought there was a pregnant woman. And I asked, what do you need? And she said, and I thought she will need clothes for herself.
Yeah.
And said, I don't have clothes for my baby.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, my friends and all the women on Facebook that I know and Instagram with cars of baby clothes. We went to all these homeless ladies.
Oh, I love it.
So beautiful. You don't keep what you don't give.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say no, so you can self-accept yourself instead of saying yes, yes, yes all the time and find yourself empty.
Yes.
Some people find themselves empty because they give so much, or they're doing the shortcut, you know, especially parents, right? They would please their children they're not to have a conflict, right? Because parents are changing, talking about the AI, okay? Can I say something about AI and parents?
Absolutely.
So think about it. When you wanted to know new information, Andrea, who did you go to when you were a child?
My parents.
Like, my parent. When I didn't know something, I went to my parent or the librarian. I love my librarian. Oh my God. That's why I'm writing books. That was my escape. A librarian, my aunt, you know, I had a caregiver that I went to ask a question. Today, when the younger generation wants to know any information, where do they go to?
Google. AI.
Whatever it is, they go to a machine. They don't go to the parents because probably maybe the parents is going to know, but it's so much faster to ask, hey, Siri, right?
You woke her up.
Now, one more step. So when parents want to know something about technology, who do they go to? Their children.
Oh.
Like, hey, you know, Johnny, come and show me how do you do the Zoom thing?
Oh, because they're not familiar with all of that yet.
All of a sudden, roles are changing. We are living in the cast where roles are changing. Children not anymore going to the parents or the caregivers to know information, but what happens, parents are reaching out to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can see a whole generation of parents who are afraid to say to their kids no.
Yes.
They say yes because they want to people please the children.
Yeah.
And we are raising a whole generation of people pleasers because all their lives they heard, yes, of course. It's like, oh, I want a cookie. Oh, yes, don't cry. Now this girl is dating and she people please. She goes to dating as a people pleaser because she learned that people pleasing is better than saying no. She never felt the frustration of like, wow, I say no if somebody else said no to me. So I'm going to say yes all the time. I'm going to be pretty, smart, happy, you know, especially on social media, sexy, whatever it is, filters. So I'm always on people pleaser mode.
Yeah. And especially, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts, you know, regarding having sex on a first, second, third date, whatever that might be. And that need, even though you want to say no, you don't want it right now. You feel you need to say yes because they're going to be upset with you or they're not going to want to see you again. And that's just the reality of recognizing if they don't want to see me again because I'm not going to have sex with them right now, that's not my person anyways.
Yes.
And so we all tend to do that, including myself, you know, and instead of just saying no and leaving it at that with no excuse, no reason why I'm saying no, just a no.
No is a full sentence.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Okay. Listeners, write it down. No is a full sentence, right? No. Okay. For me, it's even like, you know, not many women feel pressure in the car.
Yes.
You know, and especially teenagers, they feel pressure in the car. They sit in the car, they talk, it's like, what am I going to say? Like what? And, you know, it's so much fun here. The music, you know, like this is the real pressure. Even before sex, to have something in the car, there is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a big person of like, no, the car is really not to have sex. Definitely not in the first time.
No.
Not if you don't feel that it's not that, it's not right. You know, just wait and be honest with yourself. Again, what did I say? Self-acceptance, because people pleasing equals lying to yourself. And therefore there is, you know, the resentment.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't really share what you want, it's the resentment. I want to tell you a funny story. So
yes,
I remember I told you I'm the first of 6 kids and we are 4 girls. So we have 4 girls and then 2 boys, the young one.
Okay.
So when I was young and I was with a guy in the car or for sex, I always used my mom as an excuse. Yeah. I loved it. I say, you know, we are 4 girls. And my mom always told me, don't do it in the car because you're a bad girl. Right. So my mom is the amazing excuse for not having it in the car.
I love it.
Yes, because I didn't know how to say no, right?
Yes. Never, right? Yes.
And then my dad
put it off on someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as I grew, my dad was my excuse not to talk to any relationship about past relationship. So this is the thing. There is a guy and he wants to tell you everything about his past experience. Ex-wife, ex-girlfriend. By the way, this is red light when somebody comes and tells you on the first, second date about past experiences, past relationships, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Men always listen to what your dad had to say about it. And I used to say, you know, my dad always taught me that you don't talk about, you know, exes in first and second date.
Yeah.
And they're listening. They're like, oh, Oh, my dad, right? You know, I don't do that. So this was my, before I knew, before I developed my own voice, that's how I put the boundary of not to have sex or kiss or make out in the car or, you know, for the first date, or not to talk about exes and first relationships. So listeners, if you don't have the courage, take my mom and dad.
Take your mom and dad.
Take it with you.
So what do you think is like the first step in trying to correct that behavior? Is there something little they could do that, you know, gradually gets them to that point?
That's what I just gave you. Just try to say, you know, I heard this advice from someone. Mm-hmm. Try that.
Okay.
How do you feel with a person that you just said no?
Yeah.
It's not coming from you, you know, because it's really intimidating to be in a date.
Yes.
Intimidating to, you know, be with someone that you like on the first date, hopefully you like.
Yeah.
And start to put a boundary. So if you've never put this boundary, try to say, you know, I have this advice from someone
you
really respect. And then try to see how do you feel. It's like practice, and do it with a date that you don't really, really care, so you can practice until you find it. And try to say no outside of dating a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about no, it's about putting a boundary and see how you feel with it. As I said, always be accountable to someone.
Yeah.
So practice with someone, go back and see how I felt. That's what I do with my practice. We go, we put a little boundary in something that is not really big. We go, we see how we feel. Okay. Yeah. Step by step, you know, you don't do a race. You first drive in a parking lot.
Yes.
Step by step. Right.
Start with the small stuff. I love it.
Like, you know, playing an instrument, you know, if any of our listeners play an instrument or working out or swimming, it's a practice.
Mm-hmm.
There is this notion of like, from today, I'm not going to be a people pleaser. Practice.
Yeah.
Practice, not perfection, right? Progress, not perfection. You can be really good, but try to do it first.
Yeah.
So use my mom and dad.
Perfect. I'm sure they love it. Okay. The motto on your website is, which I thought was great, connect, communicate, and create a better relationship. The three C's. So what things can a person do to turn their relationship around? And is there such a thing as too late?
Is there too late?
Yeah.
You know, obviously I'm going to say what?
What?
No.
Right? It's never too late.
I want to tell the listener about, I have an aunt, which I love so much. She's like my mom. She doesn't have kids. She's like my mom. We actually have a relationship like a mom and a daughter. So I'm blessed with, you know, like almost two moms. She met her soulmate when she was 69.
No. Right?
I mean, she was married. She was married three times before him, but she met her soulmate when she was 69.
Wait, wow.
When they're 80 years old, they're 4 days apart. When they were 80, they got married
in a
white wedding of 500 people.
Oh my goodness.
So is it too late?
No. Okay. There's still hope for us.
They're soulmates. My last visit to Israel, I stayed with them and I left. You know, I went to my car. I'm like, oops, I forgot my sunglasses. It's summer and I forgot my sunglasses. So I went back, you know, and I opened the door. Both of them at 80 years old, standing in the living room, kissing. I'm like, oh,
I love it. That's awesome. Do you think you can have more than one soulmate in your lifetime?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the illusion that we have to have a one person. And soulmate, by the way, is not only romantic soulmate.
Yeah.
Right? We can have a really good friend who's in our life, like a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a sister or brother. I can tell you my brother, my baby brother.
Yeah.
Number six and number one. He's my soulmate. We actually have a conversation of soulmates. So just listen to how, you know, what is the contract of this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Feel familiar. That's a whole different podcast, I think. But does that really feel familiar to you, or does it sit on a trauma? When it's on trauma, it's not a soulmate. By the way, many people think that there is like a contract between two souls, and it sits on a trauma. That's not. It's something that is really deep, deep familiar that you grow because you have the courage to look at yourself through the other person.
Mm.
So when the other person tells you something, It's not a defend mechanism is coming. It's your growing coming. It's like, oh, okay, I can see that.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
By the way, this is why we have a partner.
That's
partner. We have a partner so we can grow. That's it.
That's it. We overthink it.
Overthink it. Simple. You know, we have a partner so we can look at the mirror on ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And this partner, want it or not, he brings all the things that are like, oh my God, that's what I need to work on.
Yes.
We have an option. We can blame and complain that the other person is like this or that or that. Or we can say, wow, this is the thing that I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I have here a magnifying glass.
Uh-huh.
People who are listening. And I have a mirror in the shape of a heart. And of course, it's a pink.
Yes.
And this gets also for my third book, Unaddicted to You. It's a whole chapter. And I call and I name it, Put Down the Magnifying Glass and Pick Up the Mirror.
Oh, I love that relation.
Put down the magnifying glass and pick up the mirror. When you want to fix someone, change someone, something is bothering you, this is exactly the time to put down the magnifying glass from your partner, mm-hmm. from the person that you're dating, from the person, and pick up the mirror. Why is that thing really, really bothers you? There is something mm-hmm. within you that you need to change.
Interesting.
And if you're going to change it now, you're going to bring another person to date with the same issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're going to ask, so why do I date a person that is, I don't know, you help me, what most people say, fill in the blank. What most people tell you?
Lazy.
Yeah. Why do I date someone that is always, like, I always find this lazy.
No drive, yeah.
Yeah, always lazy, right? I'm like, okay, what is it within you, right? Mm-hmm. What is this lazy bring in you?
Does right? it, maybe it's that it makes you feel like you're more successful because that person is less driven. And that's why you like somebody that's a little bit lesser than you in that category, possibly. Yeah. Might be why they go that way.
Yeah. It's the fear to attract someone that will be maybe in your level because then yeah. what? Then you're not good enough, amazing enough. To
the star then of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you don't have to fix anyone.
Yeah.
Ooh, what will happen if I don't have to fix?
Yeah, what do you do?
Then what do you do? I have to face myself.
Yeah. Right? I have
to talk about my feelings.
Then and we don't want to do that.
Yeah, then I have to be vulnerable with someone. And I'm mm-hmm. afraid to be vulnerable because if I'm going to be vulnerable with someone, they know what I'm thinking. They know that mm-hmm. I want another date. No, that's too early. Like someone in, I don't know where, told us that it's not okay to say, well, I'm really like curious about all of it.
Yeah.
Without into future tripping and we're now going to the rejection. It's like, you know, you're not marrying tomorrow. You're just mm-hmm. in the moment, just be curious. You know, the one thing I tell all my clients when they date, I'm like, wait, dating is like reading a book. And I love books.
Yes.
I have so many books. I write books, not even in my first language. And when you date, you just take a book from the library and you read, I don't know, some people like to read the front, some people write to read the back, some of the first page. That's it. You go to the first date, maybe you read 3 pages.
Yeah.
You don't know this, Pam. No, you don't know them. And then start this career. I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Go with curiosity rather than the fear and the, you know, apprehensive judgment or whatever it is. Just go with the curiosity. How does continuing that this the first chapter will look like. And most people tell me, especially ladies, they say, no, I know. I read already 2 chapters.
They know it all.
You really don't know. Stay curious. Stay in the curious.
Stay curious.
Stay in the curious.
I like it. So you've mentioned in some of your work about, I haven't heard this term before. So it's consciousness of abundance. Tell me about that. What is that all about? How do we implement it, I guess, too?
Yeah, so it just goes to what I just told you. You know, when you hold a magnifying glass, you're mm-hmm. holding consciousness of lack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we live in, fortunately, with the Western world is living in the consciousness of lack. I don't have rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. Marketing. I teach marketing in school is all in the consciousness of lack. You know, they show you this beautiful model and she's running on the beach with her lover and a little dog. Why? Because she bought this mix that you put in the water and that makes that. Right? Whatever. You know, and she ice cream and she's really happy. And you know,
yes.
So all the marketing, all the consciousness that we're living in is holding the consciousness of lack.
Mm.
What is it that you don't have? Mm-hmm. And I'll promise to give it to you. What is it? Right?
Mm, yeah.
In any any place. Is it food? Is it vacation? Is it relationships? Is it health? Anything. I mean, think about all this medicine that, you know, the commercials for, you know, medicine when you see any show, right? Mm-hmm. You can be like that and they show people so happy. And then in the end, there was like,
oh yeah, the side effects. They do always look so happy, those commercials. Exactly.
We sell luck.
Yeah.
We want to show people what you don't have, and I promise you, you'll have that.
It's the FOMO, the fear of missing out on something.
Exactly.
And we don't even know what it is.
Yeah. When we change our consciousness, the way that we think that I already have it.
Yeah.
I already have all the money in the world. I already have this amazing relationship. He's just really looking for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to find me, right? But let me think, is it in the supermarket? Is he actually my best friend that I've never, like, I didn't even notice it. Is it going to be in Facebook? Whatever it is, mm-hmm. just consciousness of he's already there. And I'm sorry, it's also she, if we have male mm-hmm. listeners, you know, whatever it is, they're already here.
Yeah.
I just have to be curious.
Yes.
Of, oh my God, I'll never meet them. I had a horrible date yesterday. It's the same thing again. Mm-hmm. Then what? You give all of your money to the marketing places. Like, oh, woo, somebody is going to buy something because of your luck.
Yep.
I'm from a place of abundance. And that will create also self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. Because when I go to a gym and I look at the mirror, I'm like, oh God, God damn it, I look good to you. That's what I did this morning.
You do look great.
But you know, it's about the body, and you know, there's not anymore this place of like, I'm not enough, this is not good enough, something is not good enough.
Yeah.
I have it. I'm just getting really curious to see it manifesting in my life. Okay. Because sometimes, you know, we have only 5 senses, we can see everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there if we can only see that. And then things unfold because I know I already have it.
Gosh, that's huge, because it is really just changing the way you think about stuff. And it's not easy to do, but like you said, you keep practicing and you keep trying, because you do have those times when you falter back, especially in the dating world. You know, you think you've got this great guy and everything's great, and for whatever reason, he doesn't call you back or he doesn't ask you out on another date. Immediately we turn to, oh, I'm ugly. I didn't do this right. Right. All of, woe is me. Instead of being like, that's your loss, buddy. I'm pretty damn great.
Yeah. You know, and this buddy was really good for you a few years ago when you're luck, because you're both working on the energy of luck.
Yeah.
This person works on luck. He's ghosting. And by the way, you know, it's like the sense of if a person doesn't return your phone call or ghost you or something like that, he's a narcissist. Mm-hmm. No, he just doesn't like you.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm not pizza. I'm not ice cream. Not everybody likes me.
Right. It's fine.
It's really fine. You know, it's okay. He just doesn't like me. And I know it's the place of rejection. And this is the place of holding the mirror and think about like, okay, where do I experience rejection and why? Go deeper. Don't just, don't leave it in a space of the guy didn't return my phone call. Mm. Go why do you feel rejection? Where did you feel a rejection when you are in high school, when you are in grade school, when you are a child, when you are a baby? It's no, it sounds maybe the cliche, but it's not. When you are going to heal that place, this guy is going to call you, because you're not going to attract anymore the guy that it's not calling you anymore.
Yeah.
Because you healed, you looked at the place of a place that you were rejected as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really painful. You're going to do it with someone. And you're going to look at it and you're going to say, wow, I was rejected.
Yeah.
And then you call this little girl. Let's say she was just saying 3 years old. You call her. You take her to the safe place in this thing that I do in meditation. You sit with her on the beach, on the shore, next to a tree, whatever is your safe place in your imagination. And you hold her next to you. And you tell her, I love you.
Mm.
Never forget you. You're here.
Yeah.
Never reject you. Because all along, we reject this little kid that is looking for love or validation. So we are attracting to our life this guy that manifesting this reject into this little girl. So when we hold this girl, and we hold her and we say, you're loved, then we don't have to attract these guys anymore to show us what we feel. we go there and we heal it. And I know I said it in what, 1 minute? It's really deep, this process.
Mm-hmm.
Someone to do it with.
Mm-hmm. I
promise you, this going back to the same feeling is going to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Less, as I said, it's not going to be in one day gone, but it's going to be healed and healed and healed, because you're going to go to all these places you rejected. And all of a sudden, this guy that was looking for you is going to find a way to you.
Yes. That's,
he's waiting for you. You just didn't let him in, because you're living in the consciousness of lack. Remember, consciousness of rejection, consciousness of I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. You're still holding it from age 3, 4, 17, 21, from your past, from your divorce, from whatever it is. Let's heal that and live in abundance. He's going to the same thing. He's looking for you.
He's out there. He's there.
Yeah. Just let him come to you, not only by saying, oh, today he's going to come. I know that many girls do that.
Yes.
Like, today, you know, it's like January 1st. He's looking for me. Oh, there is no magic pot, magic, you know, thing. It's not a commercial. Heal yourself. Go to the place of luck and turn it into love, self-acceptance.
So powerful. I love that. I was really like enthralled with that, because I'm like, I've been there, you know, and I can't say I'm not totally still there, you know, a little bit. I've learned to really work on myself and love and accept myself, but there's moments, there's those days. And I think that's just natural that you're going to regress a little bit. Right. But then just one step back, two steps forward.
Yeah, and then be in awareness. Why am I doing it? What does it bring? Oh, it brings this place, like being awareness. It's like practicing, you know, and I've been through that too. Right. Yeah. I wouldn't sit here. Nobody gave me the manual, right?
Yeah.
I had to learn it,
mm-hmm.
teach it and leave it in order to be with it. Right. And then you learn that, you know, it's really not about you. It's really not about you. You go there with so much love, self-love, that's self-acceptance. That's self, not the, you know, I'm going to massage today.
I love that's huge. So we're going to get a little bit heavier here. Okay. And we're going to talk a little bit about
it. Wasn't that heavy?
Yes, I know. It really was. It threw me off, but that's not what I had written down. So we're going to talk about addictions and obsessions. So, because those can be a little bit heavy for some people, they're definitely in the throes of it. So when you say that many people have struggled with relationships due to the addiction of their loved ones and poor choices, what does that mean exactly? And does someone recognize this behavior? And if they do, how can they make that change?
Wow. We're really going deep. And by the way, this is everything in my third book, Unaddicted to You.
Yes.
It's a story of a person who was addicted to someone else who was addicted to substance.
Oh, okay.
Let's a little bit talk about addiction. So addiction is having a relationship with something that is outside of you that you think that you cannot do without it.
Mm.
Illusion that you're not going to consume it or have it, you won't be able to function, right? So it's a condition on something, and it can be a substance,
mm-hmm.
drugs, alcohol, weed, sugar,
sex.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or it can be a behavior,
mm-hmm.
gaming, gambling, right? So there is this substance, which is something internal that you're putting into your body,
mm-hmm.
or it's behavior that you have to do something, and you think that without it you won't be able to live anymore. And then really what addiction is, not the substance and it's not the behavior, it's the obsession about it.
So
it's like, I have to do it today at 5 o'clock. Or some people do, oh no, I don't do it ever, just in the weekends. And then they go into this crazy thing Friday to Monday morning, you know, like, you know, with coke, for example, you know, and they can't stop. It has to be every weekend, and the people around them and the circumstances around them have to be around it, right?
Because
again, it's not the substance, not the behavior, it's the obsession about it. And therefore some people are obsessed or addicted with a person, right? Have this obsession with a person, that's the addiction, right? So when a person is addicted to something, so it goes like that. The person is addicted to a substance, let's say to alcohol, right? I'm going to drink, I'm come home, it's only whiskey. And by the way, it's only whiskey, it's only at 5 o'clock. Am I going to do that, right? And then they lose, you know, any reality. And then the person is obsessing with their use. So it's like they're counting bottles, they're looking how many pills there are, they're looking at, you know, the vodka bottle, is it changed to water. They put water there. Been listening. How many? What are the plants? On and on and on and on. And still obsessed. And then they become the fixers.
Yep.
Right? They take them to meetings. They do. They preach. They buy all these help books and they put it like, you know, on the counter, you know, like he said, I read it and I know I have the Holy Grail, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the enmeshment. That's the codependency. Right. It's like one is dependent on the other.
Yeah.
And it's a vicious cycle in a relationship that people get trapped, especially lately. By the way, the new thing, and that's why I wrote my fourth book, The Emotional Code, is video gaming addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Is they're predicting 3.4 billion, billion.
Wow.
At it in the end of 2024.
Wow. Addicted to video games.
Video gaming is a big addiction. It's a behavioral addiction. The market of video gaming is huge because they're changing the visuals every 2-3 months.
Yeah.
It's really.
What do you think the addiction is in that, or the obsession with it? Is it the need to win at the end? Is it the, well, some of the fighting games, you know, I mean, I don't play them, but like with the guns and stuff. So that becomes a little bit of an obsession there, I guess, right?
So the obsession with gaming is really the winning. I'm going to be one. I'm going to be the best one. I'm going to beat this person. And time is endless time because there is no, you know, when you drink, when you end drinking, it's endless.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And then you again, and then you go again, and then you go again. As I said, the marketing companies are so savvy in doing it because they are creating different worlds.
Yes.
So it's not like you playing the same game with the same, like we think, oh, it's the same guns, it's the same machine. It's the same. No, it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
Right. And the question with where would I go? How would I get there? It's.
And I'm sure they can't sleep thinking about what, how to do it. What's the trick? And it's like an escape for them out of the reality. That,
I actually brought together, it's called the Gamanon. Gamanon is for parents, spouses, boyfriend, girlfriends of people who are addicts for gaming. It's called Gamanon. Mm. It's worldwide. The stories that I hear, they're unbelievable. You know, some of the people, they like in basements, usually in basements in the dark, because it's easier to play in the dark. Mm-hmm. They don't even go to the bathroom, Andrea.
Because, they just, you know, sit down there
the bathroom,
and
play. They will miss something.
Yeah.
They pee in cups. They look really pale. They have like, you know, blue and black underneath. Because of the dark, they don't eat. If they eat, they eat junk food. It's all the computer at all times, really taking over their physical, their mental, everything. And the one thing is that that's where we're talking about communication. It hinders them from having any real social life with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's online. You know, most of the big gamers there, they don't like having real-time friends.
Yeah.
Because friends, the persona that now they have online, it's a mind, because they're now not them. They're, you know, the name that they have, and then they go in this crazy like rabbit holes into who they think they are. So that they're going to work, they don't have a relationship, their families. It's a severe pandemic. Wow. This is the severe pandemic. Mark my words.
Yeah. That's huge. I hadn't heard about that, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah, and people think it's only teenagers. It's not. In the Game Anon, I hear about spouses and women too. It's not only men, and only women too.
Oof. So quite often I can assume that these addictions can kind of escalate into more alarming forms. We did just kind of talk about a few of them, but also physical and mental abuse. So how does one effectively navigate removing themselves from these types of relationships?
Yeah.
It's kind of tricky to do. And what strategies do you kind of impart to help individuals in recognizing these predicaments?
Yeah, so we're recognizing that they have it, or recognizing that somebody else that they love have it?
I think a little bit of both, but mainly that somebody else has these, and how do they, are they able to get out of it and transform their lives into something where they know they're not deserving of this and they got to make a different change?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, you know, it's never late. It's never late. And unfortunately, to get out of any obsession, it's total abstinence, which is really hard with video gaming because you have to get off your computer, but we need a computer every day.
Yeah.
So you have off all the video gaming. So with any addiction, it's total abstinence,
cold
right?
Turkey.
If it's sugar, whatever it is, cold turkey, not by yourself.
Yeah.
The best thing to do, and that's why, you know, divorced women go with divorced women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Girls that are dating going with their, you know, it's having this community who will support you in it.
Yeah.
People that went through it and succeeded, learn from that, love what they have, and you have the desire.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Oftentimes, people that live with someone that is an addict or alcoholic or has any addiction, they want to do the process for the person.
Yeah.
It's never going to work. They have to do it. First of all, they have to desire to want that. And believe me, every person with addiction know that they have an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they think, oh, maybe yes, maybe no. They entertain this, but I don't have it. I can control it.
Right.
Like, I can control this,
I got
whatever.
This.
I got this. I do it only on the weekend. That's how it starts. I do it
only
I do it only with whiskey. I play only with that. It's not an addiction. I smoke weed only at nighttime just to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many things. This is when, but only they can say, wow. The best thing that you can do for someone that you love that has an addiction is to tell them that their behavior bothers you.
Mm.
You know, your behavior bothers me. And I know that you will find your way. I'm here if you need help. But unless you call me, I'm going to be here. But your behavior really bothers me.
Yeah.
That's the first wake up call.
Yeah.
Okay. Fortunately, many people with addiction, they have to hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you heard about, especially in the movies, like big car accident, they almost died, or they lost something, finance, their wife, their husband, their child, God forbid, they lost something in order to wake up. And that's called a rock bottom.
Right.
So if you're listening and you have any problem, an issue with an addiction, call someone. Just be honest with one person, this person that is not going to judge you. That's the hardest thing, because mostly you think, oh, I'm going to tell someone, they're going to judge me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of AA meetings, Al-Anon meetings, you know, gambling, whatever it is, go find the one person that went through it, that mm-hmm. they can help you with your, that's my number one offer to anyone
yeah.
that is struggling.
And I think you said,
and if it's a woman struggling with someone, call me.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually done, but call a person who went through it, because
yeah.
they're going to walk you how not being so obsessive about someone else's addiction.
Yeah. And I think that's huge. What you said is that person has to figure it out for themselves. So we can't do it for them. We can't make those changes for them. Dragging them to an AA meeting when they don't really want to be there is not going to do anything, right? It has to be that person wanting to make
I've
the change.
I've dragged someone to AA.
Yeah.
I've dragged someone to AA. No.
No. Yeah.
No, it helped temporary to my own like soothing relief. Like, oh my God, I did it. But in the
yeah.
long,
oh did. Yeah, you're right. It's that. It gives you that gratification of, well, I did what I was supposed to do and I'm this. Yeah. Doing all of that stuff. That's huge.
I call it spiritual arrogancy. I know better.
Ooh, spiritual arrogancy. Mm. So tell us about divorcing or separating in abusive relationships without the obsession. What does that look like?
Right. So first of all, it's all, as I said, it's awareness. Right.
Yeah.
Being aware that I love myself and I accept myself the way I am, mm-hmm. and I don't have to attract someone with luck anymore mm-hmm. into life. Just talked about the entire thing. You know, it's a process. It's a process to find your voice again, because you're so used to someone that is abusing you emotionally, sometimes physically, verbally. Mm-hmm. You sit and you're used to it, and finding your own voice into it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it by yourself. People that do it by themselves, I can tell you that I had amazing women who helped me with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's here. And I love my life today.
Yes.
I really, you know, I'm not any more longer being moved by something that someone else said.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, okay, I call it, I don't rent rooms in my head anymore. I used to have a head and they were rented to people for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you want a room in my head? Come on, boom, and another one.
And then they just sit in there.
Yeah, and I entertain them too.
Yes, yes.
I don't rent rooms for free anymore to anyone. Find your voice.
Yeah.
Please, I'm going to say and continue. There is love.
Mm-hmm.
There is true love after, but first you have to love yourself.
Yeah.
Because otherwise going to attract the same person.
Yeah. And I love you actually saying that about yourself, because you're such an accomplished woman. You've had these amazing careers and done all of these incredible things, but you just said it yourself that you also had to get help and you knew you couldn't do it yourself. And so you had to step out and get that taken care of. And I think that's a big thing that people just kind of think, well, it doesn't happen to you. You don't know what it's like, you know, kind of like that, but you don't know what everybody's going through. I would have never thought that just from talking to you and what you've done, you know? So I think that's really important for people to know.
2013, I was found in my bathroom floor, on my bathroom floor, with a heartbeat of 21 going down. My heartbeat slower and slower at 21. My dad of my kids found me on the floor. He called the paramedics and they didn't let him go. They actually came and they revived me on my daughter's bed that day. I went to the hospital and I was three weeks in the hospital. They couldn't put my heart higher than 35. My heart just didn't want to beat. That's it. Yeah. Externally, they think that I ate something because something happened before. I threw up and I couldn't even keep water for weeks. I couldn't keep water. And I was a mom to two kids.
Wow.
10 and 8. And I just, this bacteria, the doctor said that overpowered my immune system to the fact that I couldn't even keep water. So my immune system and my heart. But externally, I was so involved with someone else's lives. I wanted to fix somebody else so badly that I completely forgot myself. I lived in shame. I lived in fear. I lived in self-judgment. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't ask for help. And finally, I just knew I wanted to die. I wanted to die. And this was the beginning of finding my own me. It wasn't easy. It took me 3 years. So I'm saying it's not easy. Call for help. Don't wait 3 years.
Yeah.
I remember myself in the hospital bed thinking, what do I want? Am I going to live my life like that forever? It was my life for many, many years, living not me, living someone else. If he's happy, I'm happy. If he thinks that I'm pretty, oh my God, I'm pretty. If he said that I'm beautiful or I'm smart or I did something, oh my God, that was my entire me, what he said or he thought about me. I didn't think about me anything, no? And slowly I woken up with a loss. I almost lost my life. My kids almost lost their mom.
Yeah.
When I went to, you know, when I couldn't, my heart didn't function, this 21 heartbeat on the floor, I actually for real saw the right white light and the voice said the names of my kids and it said, call for help. And when I woke up on the way to the hospital, I woke up in the paramedics, in the car, in the ambulance. I knew I need to call for help, but I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to do it.
Wow.
This is the beginning of me today. And look at me today. I'm really, really live my life.
I know.
That's what I say. I'm so grateful for him, because if that wouldn't happen, I don't know. I would fix more and more and more people just to be good with me. I don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Self. But I'm helping other women who are stuck in the same position.
Yeah.
Obsessed about somebody else. Do not know, obsessed about dating, thinking that the next guy is going to come. You know, the story that they sold us, Cinderella is going to swipe her.
Right. We're all waiting for that right?
Exactly. I'm ready. We're all ready. Right.
Oh my gosh. So, and thank you for sharing that story. That's incredible, actually. It's scary. So scary to know that you were there, but so grateful that you're here today to share it. So I love that you did say on your website that the truth is that we often shame ourselves for feeling conflicted emotions. Such inner contradictions can make us feel like we are stuck in a vicious cycle of unhealthy relationship, obsessions, addictions, making us feel obligated to love others. So we neglect our need for devotion and in return are left unfulfilled. So does that actually resonate with a lot of people, or do most tend to feel that they're just not in that environment? They're somewhat in doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, thank you so much for doing research.
It was wonderful.
That summarized everything we talked about.
Yeah.
Living in the shame, living in the fear, living in the doubt.
The addictions, everything.
Yeah. Because on the obsession, because I don't see me for who I am. I'm trying to numb, to always numb this girl, because there was a lot of shame about the needs that are not met.
Yeah.
You know, even with that, a lot of blame on the parents. Like, parents didn't give me what I wanted.
Right.
But then what? You can blame and, you know, hold a magnifying glass forever and say it's because of other people. You can sit and call this little person, child, adult who didn't get. I do it too. Mm-hmm. With the were there on the bathroom floor. I call her within.
Yeah.
And I tell her, going there, that's the beginning of healing, not blaming others. Just sitting mm-hmm. with this place that was so distorted, but I didn't know different way. People yeah. don't know otherwise. Go
yeah.
here and feel invited. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think a lot of people don't even recognize or realize where they're at. And so that's why I love doing these podcasts, because it just, it awakens a little bit of you that just maybe somebody goes, oh, that's yeah. me, you know, that they didn't recognize that before. So I think that's incredible.
That's the awaken. That's yeah. the awaken. Your voice can be to so many people right now that we don't even know.
Yeah.
All we need to do is just, you know, be curious.
Yeah. I love
serve,
it.
Serve, you know, give it a serving. Other people are curious, and that's the healing in the world. I really hope we can start creating healing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
We're changing patterns. We mm-hmm. are in the generation, I told you, with AI, but also changing patterns of healing to the next generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of shame in past generations, and now we're opening it slowly, slowly. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of blame, but opening it
into yeah.
mine, all of it.
So good. This, all of this was so wonderful. I'm so grateful that you came to be on my show today. Thank you so much for that. Tell everybody where they can find you. Tell us about these fabulous books that you have, because they all seem incredible. Where can they find those?
Thank you. So my name, Etel Light, L-E-I-T. So I'll repeat Etel, E-T-E-L, like Lucy and Ethel, no age. L-E-I-T, and literally with any platform. So my biggest thing is Instagram. I have TikTok. Uh-huh. My website, it's Dr. Etel Light. My books are on Amazon, Etel Light. And if you want, it's also on Barnes & Noble. I actually had a huge, big signing of my book, Unaddicted to You, at the Grove, LA.
Oh, yes. I didn't know. Oh, I want to come.
Yeah,
I'm in LA. Yeah.
And this is my gift to the listeners who are still with us and really are struggling. And I do it in every podcast that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone here, DM me and say that they need 15 to 20 minutes time. I call it the diagnose your relationship. They really want someone to wake them up. I was waking up with someone. Somebody hugged me and they wake me up. So I'll give you 15 to 20 minutes for free. Mm. No need to anything.
Amazing.
Just talking to you. DM me with your name. Please mention the podcast.
Yes, from Mrs. to Miss. Yes.
You have to mention Mrs.
Have to.
Yes. And now I'll give you 15 to 20 minutes free time to shed some light on what you're going through.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is such a great offer. I hope everybody's listening and takes her up on that offer. We want to just flutter with all of these calls. Make sure you mention from Mrs. to Miss. Before you go, I'd like to play this little game with my guests. It's called From Mrs. to Miss Fun Facts, This or That. It's very simple, just 10 easy questions of would you rather this or that. They're pretty much all relationship driven. Okay, so number one, would you rather a romantic dinner at home or an adventurous date night out?
Adventure.
Yes. Okay, number two, if on a deserted island, would you rather sunset skinny dip or midnight beach bonfire?
Oh, definitely sunset skinny dip.
It's funny because you stalled and I thought you were going to go, I'm not skinny dipping, but no, I love it. You went for that one. I love it.
Oh, skinny dipping, sure.
Yeah, you're on a desert island. Okay, number three, a one-night stand with someone you've crushed on or an actual relationship with someone you're just feeling okay about?
I don't do one-night stand. I really don't.
So we're going to go with the relationship. You're like, I don't want either. None of those.
Nope. I really don't.
Good for you. I love that conviction. I think it's great. You're just like, I don't do that. I don't either. I don't like it. I don't like
hookups. And I'm not saying it for the podcast. I mean, everyone that know me knows I don't do nonsense.
I don't do it. So future plans or present moment?
Wow, that's a hard one because there was no future plans without the present moments.
Ooh,
so
I like that.
That's it.
I'll take that answer. That's great. Okay, this one. Ooh, we're getting a little fun here. Blindfolded surprises or playful role play?
Blindfolded surprises. I love surprises.
I
Why
do
work?
too.
Let the other person work.
That's right. That's right. They can be the blindfolder. You're the blindfoldie. Okay. Number six, trying new positions or mastering the classics.
New positions.
Yes. Fun, fun. Soft whispers or lingering touches.
Soft whispers.
Oh, and I think that might even play into your love languages a little bit. Do you know what your love language is? What's your first one?
Yeah, both, exactly
Oh,
what you
same
said.
things. Yeah.
Physical touch and yes, and words,
And
same
words of
thing. But
affirmation.
at the
Yeah,
moment,
yeah.
I like, yes.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, texting throughout the day or saving it all for face-to-face conversations?
Depends on the day.
Yeah, and the
Sometimes I like
person, I
the
guess.
texting. Sometimes I like conversation. I'm more of a conversation person than texting. I really don't have time for it. And I also think that texting can be so,
Impersonal.
God, a mind game. Who wants that? With my current one, I don't text a lot. We just talk a lot.
That's all.
That's the real thing.
That's love.
Yes.
That's communication. That's great. Okay, slow
Yep.
dancing in the living room or spontaneous dance moves in the kitchen?
Spontaneous dance in the kitchen.
In the
Yes.
kitchen. And the
Yeah.
last one, a romantic getaway. Would you prefer a luxurious beachfront villa or a secluded mountain cabin?
Can we do secluded in island?
Yes, we can.
The ocean. Yes. I
Oh, we
used to
sure
go for
can.
all these luxury vacations and all that, but today I love the third world country. I travel
Yeah.
a lot, and I usually skip main cities. I go to the small cities in third world countries
Yeah.
to see how other people and other children live in different places. It's something that
Oh,
I'm fascinated by.
I
I've been
love that.
to 20, 25 places in the last 8 years,
Oh my
and I
goodness.
always go to unbelievable places. I sit and I observe, and I
Yeah.
have so much gratitude from it.
Yeah.
Of course, I've been to luxurious place. It's fun, it's nice, but I
Yeah.
don't get the same satisfaction and gratitude. I come back as a different person when I go and I see these kids playing with rocks. I don't know, with
Yeah.
wood.
And they're content and they're happy.
They're very happy,
Yeah.
and then I get happy. Then
Yeah.
I go home and I'm like, wow,
Yeah.
life is so beautiful and simple.
Yeah. Oh, we put too much pressure on having all the bells and whistles and everything, right?
Bells and
Simplicity.
whistles are definitely from within.
Yeah. Oh, I
Yeah.
love that. That's great. Well, thank you so much once again for joining me. It's been wonderful to have this conversation with you. So fulfilling for me. I'm just like, I feel like I just learn something new every time I'm talking to somebody, which is why I'm just loving doing these podcasts and just hoping I'm absorbing all of this information and putting it to good use. So thank you once
Thank
again.
you, Andrea. That was complete my joy and pleasure. You're so
Amazing.
fascinating. I've been to many, many podcasts, but your questions and your curiosity
Thank
are
you.
amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, I
Thank
love
you.
that. Thank you. So to you listeners out there, make sure you go and check her out. It's Dr. Etel Light. That's Etel and then Leit. Once again, she said you can get a little almost consultation with her for 10, 15 minutes. If you're going through something, just please mention from Mrs. Tamiz and DM her and she'll help you out with that. For everyone out there, you can find me at from.mrs.2.ms on Instagram and TikTok. And you can also email me at info@frommrs.net. We will see you guys next week. Thank you once again for joining me. Have a great week. Bye.